Well, good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. What is a joy to be here this morning. To all the fathers that are in the room, happy Father's Day to each of you. I just want to remind you, Father's Day, kind of like Mother's Day, can be a joyous time, but also for some, it can be a hard, difficult time as they remember whether their father has passed or whether they had a difficult childhood. And so may we remember that everybody has different stories. Let us pray for one another that on this day that they would remember first and foremost who their heavenly Father is, God the Father, who loves them, loves the fatherless, loves all. And so may we turn to Him. I always tell people all the time that sometimes we begin to look at our earthly dad and then think that God the Father is going to look somewhat like that. And we need to turn that around and say that our Heavenly Father is the true illustration of what our Father should look like according to Scripture. And so let's make sure that we always look to our Heavenly Father on this Father's Day. I want to share just a few announcements with you. Because we have Connect Camp this week, we're excited. We have the Connect Camp crew here with us. We all just kind of wave your hand. So we're excited. I got to meet several of them, or all of them really, last night, and many of them are from Georgia and are Georgia Bulldogs fans, so we will pray for them throughout this week. So we are so excited. The kids are coming. I think there's like 150 kids or so coming to Connect Camps. They will be here tomorrow. This whole facility, the land, all this stuff is going to be full of kids and Connect crew and many of you. We have over 70 who are serving this week. So thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So because of all that's going on this week, my prayer time on Monday will be canceled. Our midweek Wednesday will be canceled because of all that's happening. And next Sunday, you need to hear this, next Sunday we will not have life groups. The reasoning, people may ask why, the reasoning is because it's going to take us a long time to get everything cleaned up after a week of 150 kids. We have Connect crew, we have 70 people serving, and so we're going to be using this time to get everything kind of picked up and cleaned up. So next week there is no life group. Following service today, we have a Connect Camp meeting in the fellowship hall. And then also in the lobby, there is Connect Camp cards where you can be praying for kids who will be here this week. We have a few more cards out there. Please, let's not leave any of those here. Let's make sure that every kid is being prayed for. And then also for those who are serving and for those who aren't that want to come real early, each morning at 6:45 until 7:10, I'm just going to have a time of prayer with those from Luke 4:18 that want to pray for that day. So at 6:45, we're actually going to meet in the children's theater. Is that what it's called? Theater? The children's theater right over here from 6:45 to 7:10. If you are serving in the morning, you're supposed to be here at 7:10. So if you want to come and pray with us at 6:45, Monday through Friday, right over here, I would love for you to come and be a part of that. Also want to share two more things with you. Our Alaska team is leaving on Friday. So excited for them. We're going to pray for them as we close out today and commission them. I just want to encourage you to be praying for our Alaska team. We have, I think, almost all are first-timers, or is all of them first-timers? All of them are first-timers, and we are so excited about what God is going to do in and through them. Be praying for them as they go every day. Let's lift them up in prayer. But also remember that there are those who are family members who are staying back that are going to be here, and we need to come alongside and support and love them. I want to share just real quick. I don't know 100% who it was, and if I did, I probably wouldn't say this. But somebody, while I was gone in Zambia for 2 weeks, came and cut my grass. That meant so much when I got home because I was like showing up and I was like, oh, I've got to cut the grass. And then it was cut. Hey, listen, that means so much. There are people who are going to be back here at home that we can raise up their arms and love on them and support them. And so let us also recognize that we want to come alongside and help those that are here and be praying for them. Last but not least, the SBC convention last week went really well. There was nothing out of the ordinary, nothing too crazy. If you read my article, my bulletin article, I said, you know, we always have a few crazy uncles, right? But overall, it was just a phenomenal week, and I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to represent Luke 4:18 there. If you heard anything that seemed crazy and you want some information, come see me, because I didn't really hear anything crazy while I was there, but I'd be happy to talk with you about it. Now, as we begin our time, I want to start by praying for Israel. Many of y'all know that Israel is dear on my heart. Nasser is in Jerusalem. I texted him last night, and he told me, he said, David, we're safe, but it's a very tense situation right now, and they can't leave further than 10 minutes from their bomb shelter. And so I want to be praying for Israel and the nation of Israel. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, you are a good, good Father, and we just praise your holy name. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, as we gather here together, the scripture calls us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we lift up the nation of Israel. Father, we pray your protection over them. And Father, I pray you'd give them wisdom and guidance. Lord, I want to also lift up the civilians that are in Israel and the civilians that are in Iran and the civilians that are in the Middle East that are being affected by all this situation right now. Father, I pray that even through chaos, even through war, Father, I pray that your name would be lifted high and glorified. Father, I pray that those who do not know you as Lord and Savior would come to know you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be lifted high throughout this whole situation. Now, Father, we have such a heart for the nation of Israel, and we continue just to pray provision and guidance over them. Lord, today as we come into this place, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. May this not be tradition. May this not be religion. May this be a time of worship. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false? Father, today we come in here with clean hands and a pure heart, crying out to you. And so, Father, may our praise be an incense that rises to you, O God. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. It's in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us today. If you're a guest and you'd like a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship, you can fill out the welcome card that's in the seat back pocket right in front of you. Turn it into one of our boxes at the back of the room, and we can get in touch with you. We'd love for you to do that. We have a lot of exciting things on the horizon and ways to worship the Lord together. And the first thing is doing this today. So let's stand together. Why don't you welcome somebody around you as we begin to sing today? Let's sing this together.
Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross is spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully know how glorious, how wonderful. my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Sing that again.
You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
We say amen. We say thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied today. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us, that we'd have new life. And his praise will be our lips forever.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love
sing, oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world.
Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above.
Today.
Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my down, I lay down,
We're going to continue to sing this morning. And we're going to have an extended time of prayer here in just a few moments for Connect Camps. But before we do, I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts for a time of prayer. The choir and orchestra is going to lead us in a song that many of you know called Make Room. And it's all about removing our tradition and our religion because God's way is better. And I want to challenge you, whether you want to come down to the altar, whether you want to kneel where you are, whether you want to stand, but I pray that during this song that you would prepare your hearts before the Lord for us to cry out to God for this week. Ask the Lord if there's any unconfessed sin in your life and repent of that. If there's any attitudes that may not be correct, that the Lord would give you peace. Take this time to seek the Lord in your heart.
Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown, this is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I will make room.
Shake up the ground.
Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better.
Yes.
Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better.
If you believe it,
shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender.
At this time where you are seated, would you just begin to pray for the kids that are going to be coming here to Luke 4:18? Pray that their eyes would be open to see Jesus high and lifted up. Pray that they would lay down the struggles of life and receive the eternal life in Jesus Christ. Pray for those who know Christ, that they would grow in Christ throughout this week. Pray for the families that will be represented. With 150 kids, that's at least 100 families. Pray for those that are unchurched, that they would find a local church to be a part of. Yes, we would love for them to be here at Luke 4:18, but my heart is for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we desire and long for them to be plugged into a God-fearing, Bible-believing church. Pray for provision and protection over the kids. Pray that God would protect us from the weather that often comes in the afternoons here in Mobile. From the heat that is prevalent in the summer. Pray that God's name is glorified and lifted high. If you are serving at Connect Camps, I would kindly ask that you would stand at this time, that we can pray for you. Church, we have people all over the room. If you're close enough to them, would you just place your hand on their shoulder or on their hand, or just let them know that you are praying for them. And let's, as the body of Christ, just begin to pray over all of those who are serving at Connect Camps. Pray that God would give them favor in the eyes of the children, in the eyes of the families. Pray that God would give them strength, as these days will be long, but it will be worth it all. Pray that God would give them the words that when they open their mouth to speak, that the Spirit of God flows through their life and through their mouth. Pray for provision and protection over those who are serving. Pray that God's will be done. Pray that they will cover themselves in the armor of God, that when they are tired, they will not yield to the flesh. Pray that their hearts will do all of this for the kingdom of God, not for any type of personal gain. And most of all, pray that God's name would be glorified through their lives. Father, we know that you are moving all across the world. Father, the question is not about whether you're going to move, it's whether we are going to get on board with what you are doing. Father, your word says that it will not return void, that it will accomplish that which it was set out to do. So, Father, this week, I pray that we would just speak the word of God over these kids. Yes, Father, I want them to have fun. I want them to enjoy this time. I want them to go back telling people how amazing this time was. But, Father, more than the time of play and enjoying time of what's happening, I want them to go back and say, let me tell you what God has done. So, Father, I pray for Luke 4:18 fellowship, Lord, as we open this week, the whole campus, to the community, to the kids, to the families, Lord. May it not be about Luke 4:18, may it be about you and you alone. Father, I pray, Lord, not so that we can say, look at us, but that we can say, look at what God has done. Father, I pray that many would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For the greatest problem that any kid has that comes is lostness. There is no problem greater than that in this world. And in fact, all problems come from lostness. And so, Father, may we give them the only hope. The only answer to the lostness is Jesus. And so, Father, this week, may we offer to them the answer to their difficult, most difficult situation. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you would use sinners like us to take the gospel to others. Thank you for that privilege, oh God. So, Father, may you be lifted high and glorified this week. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. For it's in your precious and holy, holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your over fear and all anxiety.
Yes.
To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Sing that if you believe it today. Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Speak your name today. We'd ask, Lord, that you would just return us to our first love today. As we think of fathers, we pray that we would reflect our Heavenly Father. Let us return to you today, for you alone are faithful to us. You are the one that gives us love and life. And as we have the opportunity to reflect that love in so many different ways over this summer, we pray that when people see us, they wouldn't see our merit and our effort and our good deeds, Lord, but they would see you. We love you, Lord. Praise your name today. Let us return to you and this Father today. We pray that it be all about you. Amen. You may be seated as our choir sings.
Just in faith.
What is a joy to be back with you. It's been two Sundays but we have continued in the book of 1 John. As many of you know, Brother Josh Grogan 2 weeks ago in 1 John chapter 4. Amen. You can clap, Aaron. Everybody's going to clap now. And then last week, Dr. Bashir's, you know, listen, some of y'all thought I took a long time in a book, because I was in Ephesians for a year. Kyle Bashir's preached one message on like 6 words. And so I just want y'all to know that I'm moving fast through these books. Actually, today we had donuts with Dad over here in the children's area, and my son asked me to come, and so I did. And I figured since I have 2 kids, I should have 2 donuts. So that means that it may go fast today. So I need you to listen fast today. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, picking up in verse 6. You may say, well, David, we just ended chapter 4. Why are we jumping to verse 6? Well, if you'll remember from the series that we've done, the very first sermon that I preached in 1 John was 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you weren't here, or if you have forgotten it, you can go online and you can watch that. You can listen to it on multiple different venues that we have the messages available. In 1 John chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 6 through 12. John kind of speaks of like a courtroom setting. There's a prosecutor, a defense, calls up the witnesses. And based on their claims, we have to decide or make a judgment on whether we believe these witnesses. John tells us in some sense, hey, you be the jury. You can judge. You can look at the evidence that I'm going to put before you, and you can decide whether you think Jesus truly is the Christ. Now, I want you to know that no matter what decision you make on whether Jesus is the Christ or is not the Christ, does not change the fact that Jesus is the Christ. But John says, I'm going to present to you some witnesses for those who may have doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Some people doubt his existence, while others doubt his claims. Now, I just want to be very clear for a moment. If Jesus' claims were not true, then Jesus was the greatest liar and deceiver of all times. But the fact that they are true tells us that he is truly the Son of God. People will often say, well, he was just misunderstood, or he wasn't really who he said he was, but he was a good person. You can't be a good person and claim to be the Son of God and lie your whole life about who you are. He either truly is the Son of God or he's a deceiver. And we see throughout Scripture over and over and over again that Jesus truly is the Son of God. I was reading a book this week, and there was an atheist who lived in the early 2000s, the 20th century. And somebody asked him, they said, you know, what's going to happen if you die and actually do find out that you have to stand before God, that God truly exists? And these were his words. He said, I would probably ask, sir, why did you not give me better evidence? Well, today I'm here to show you the evidence that John is laying out in verse 6 through 12. Let's pick up in the Bible in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 5. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with the water and with blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of man or men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that we would just allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the pages, that we may hear and understand that which you are speaking, that we may place it into our lives and live accordingly. Now, Father, we love you and praise you, for it's in your name. Amen. John calls up three witnesses in verse 6 through 8, and then two more in verses 9 through 12. There are multiple thoughts on what John is referring to when he speaks of water and blood. Some think that the water is of physical birth, while others look at the blood and water of that which flowed from the side of Jesus when they pierced his side. But I lean towards the two ordinances of the church, of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which represents his death and resurrection. And so we're going to look today at these witnesses. First, the water, or baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, we see Jesus being baptized. It says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us all, or for us, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A very interesting dialogue is happening here. John the Baptist, or the baptizer, is baptizing people and calling them to repentance. And when Jesus comes up and he asks to be baptized, John is like, whoa, 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 we need to switch places. You need to be calling people to repentance, and I need to come be baptized. But Jesus says, no, I need to do this. I'm going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. You know, people ask me all the time, did Jesus need to be baptized? And I tell them, he didn't need to be baptized as much as he didn't belong on the cross, but he did it for you and he did it for me. He came, he was baptized, began his 3 years of ministry and went to the cross for you and for me. Jesus didn't deserve the cross, but he took it for you and me. Jesus didn't have to step out of heaven to this earth, but he did it for you and for me. That's how much he loves us. But we see in this baptism, after he comes out of the water, it says that the heavens opened. And we see the Trinity in this moment. We see the Son being baptized. We see the Holy Spirit coming down onto Jesus. And we see the Father's proclamation, or we hear the Father's proclamation, this is my beloved Son. Why would John in 1 John call to the witness stand the baptism of Jesus? Because we see the Spirit of God descending upon him, and we hear the Father's proclamation that this is my Son. Now, I just want to be very clear to you. I've been to Israel many times, and I have baptized in the Jordan many times. Many of you in this room I baptized in the Jordan. I want to show you two pictures real quick. We have the first picture. This is the site at the just at the south of the Sea of Galilee. This site, whenever you get baptized, you have to watch out. The fish will nibble on your toes, right? Many of you were baptized here. I, for some reason, I guess because I was baptizing, my phone wasn't capturing the images. So somebody captured this one on my phone, but I just didn't have any of y'all. So if you want to send some, that'd be great. But then we also have I've also baptized at the traditional site. You can look at this one. That's my son being baptized. And that water, you don't know what's in that water. But it's the Jordan River. But I show you both of these pictures for this purpose. Every time that I have baptized in the Jordan River, when somebody came out of the water, the heavens didn't open. Every single time. And there was never a voice that said, this is my son, who I'm well pleased. Why? Because none was the Son of God. This is historic. This is a moment in history. The only time when someone is baptized that the heavens open and God says, this is my son. John says, hey, you need a testimony, you need witnesses. I'm calling one to the stand, the baptism of Jesus. But then he goes on and he says, not just the water, but the blood. It says that in verse 6. Of 1 John chapter 5. I believe that the blood here is speaking of the crucifixion. As Jesus bore the cross for our sin. And I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 27. And just think about what happens on this day. It says in 27 verse 45 of the book of Matthew. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, this is my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, let's just look at this. Darkness for 3 hours fell on the earth. Jesus cries out, "It is finished," as many of you know. I share all the time, I believe that when he said it is finished, he was talking about salvation, but he was also saying religion is finished. Because previous to the cross, they had to continue a sacrifice every single day. Religion and tradition and doing this sacrificial act was done. It was finished. It's no longer religion. It's now a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only did darkness fall over and he say it is finished, but the veil was torn from top to bottom, signifying that now we could all enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there was an earthquake that began to take place and rocks were split into two and the tombs were opened, and all of a sudden the saints of the Old Testament began to walk around as they rose from the dead. Now, I just want to tell you, I've been the pastor of Luke 4:18, senior pastor for 5.5 years, and I have done in 5.5 years over 100 funerals. I have walked with many of you through the passing of your loved one. And it's been hard, and I cannot fathom doing that without knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I also want to tell you that at the passing of each loved one and each member of Luke 4:18, the sky has never gone dark. The earth has never began to shake. People have not started walking out of Mobile Memorial Gardens. All these things, curtains and veils, are not torn from top to bottom. Why? Because this is a different situation. This is the Son of the living God who is laying his life down for you and for me. So much is taking place in that moment that this is what the hardened-hearted centurion said in verse 54. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and all that had happened, became very frightened and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Truly this was the Son of God. Here we see that John is calling to the witness stand the baptism of Jesus when God the Father proclaims, "This is my Son who I am pleased." And then we see in the crucifixion all that takes place around the crucifixion and at his death, and even the centurion crying out, "This must be the Son of God." But then he calls the third to the witness stand, and that is the Holy Spirit. And we see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, at the end, it says, "It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are the three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement." The Holy Spirit, seen here, or termed here, given another name as the Spirit of truth. He is truth, which means he is the revealer of truth, particularly Jesus, who is the truth. For Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," in John 14, verse 6. But in John 15, 26, Jesus is telling them that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is coming. And when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what Jesus says: "When he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is the Spirit who proceeds from the Father, "he will testify about me." He will testify about me. Church, we see all throughout the life of Jesus and even after the life of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is continually testifying about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible shows the Holy Spirit's involvement in the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. We see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right there at the conception of Christ in the womb of Mary. We see the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism, as I just read. We see the Holy Spirit at the temptations that Jesus goes through in the wilderness. We see the Holy Spirit all throughout his ministry. Even to the point that some of the Pharisees were like, man, you're healing people by an evil spirit. And this is when he talks about this blaspheming of the Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that has given him the power, the strength, because he's submitted to the Father's will. And the Spirit of God is doing this in and throughout his ministry. And we see the Spirit of God raising Jesus from the dead. Paul states in Romans 8:11 that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. John is calling to the witness stand. The baptism of Jesus. He's calling to the witness stand. The crucifixion. He's calling to the witness stand. The Holy Spirit. And I believe that there is a purpose for him calling three to the stand here. Because it's in accordance to the Old Testament law. In Deuteronomy 19 verse 15. It says. Let me just read this to you. I forgot I didn't give it to you in the back. Deuteronomy 19 verse 15. Says this, a single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On that evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. Now in Deuteronomy, I get that he's talking about, hey, you don't just believe an accusation against somebody unless there's two or three witnesses. But I believe that John is even saying here, hey, I want you to know that you can believe this. There are three witnesses. We have the baptism. We have the death. We have the Holy Spirit that all proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God. But John continues in verse 9 through 12 and gives us two more witnesses. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 9 it says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. The testimony of God is greater. Here we see John say, hey, listen, you've seen the baptism. You've seen the crucifixion. I've showed you through the Holy Spirit. Now I'm letting you see that it's the Father who has given all of this testimony to you. Jesus even speaks this in John chapter 5, verse 31 through 37. He says, if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, these works, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. And then look at what it says in verse 37. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. I like how Danny Akins, one of our presidents at one of the seminaries, one of the Southern Baptist seminaries, says it this way. He says, the abiding testimony of Jesus' baptism, his crucifixion, and the Holy Spirit is God the Father's historical witness that Jesus is the Son of God. So let me go back for a moment. I shared with you at the very beginning that there was an atheist in the early 20th century who said that if I only had a little bit more evidence. Well, John has given us evidence. I believe that God's answer will simply be to him, there was a lot of evidence. You simply attempted to suppress the evidence so that you would not have to answer to Holy God. See, the problem with this atheist and other atheists and those who deny Jesus is that you can deny that Jesus is the Son of God. You can deny his claims. You can deny that God the Father exists. But one day you will no longer be an atheist. Because one day when you breathe your last, you will stand before God. The scripture is very clear that when we breathe our last, that each one of us will stand before God the Father. Even if we deny his being, even if we deny who Jesus is and that he wasn't truly the Son of God, it doesn't matter. One day you're going to stand before the throne of God and give an account for your life. And I'm here to tell you that telling God that there was not enough evidence is not going to allow you to stand on that day. The scripture is very clear that the only way that we can stand on the day that we are before God the Father is if we have been covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus bore our sin on him so that we may be the righteousness of God. We may take on the righteous standing of Jesus Christ before God the Father. John continually tells, hey, there is great evidence. There's great testimony. The question now is, will you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you have to ask the question, what does that mean in your life? The reason that Jesus stepped down out of heaven and came to this earth is because each of us has a sin problem. I mentioned it in our prayer earlier. The greatest problem in the world is lostness. The greatest problem in the world is that we have been separated from holy God. But God loves you. He loves me. And he allowed his Son to step into this earth, baptized, have a 3-year ministry, a public ministry, and die on a cruel, rugged cross, taking our sin on our behalf. And this is why in 1 John 5, he continues on and says, not only is there the water, not only is there the blood, not only is there the Spirit, and all three of these bear witness of God the Father showing you that Jesus is his Son. But there's one more that he says down here in verse 10. He says, the one who believes in the Son has the testimony in himself. And that is the believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have been born of God, because listen, there's a difference between you simply saying that you are a Christian or saying that you believe and truly believing. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put your trust, your hope, your faith, every bit of who you are into Christ. I tell people all the time, you can say that you believe that the chair you're sitting in or the chair there will hold you up, but if you're not willing to sit down in that chair, do you truly believe? If you're not willing to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then do you truly believe that he is the Son of the living God? Do you truly believe that God sent him to die on the cross so that you may have life? John tells us the one who believes in the Son has the testimony in himself. What is that testimony? That testimony is a transformed life. That testimony is a life that we live that we could not live in our own power or our own strength. That testimony is the fruit of the Spirit that comes forth by abiding in Christ, something that we cannot do in our own power or our own strength. Church, we cannot take credit for what our life looks like today if we are walking in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that has done that in and through our life. A transformed life will show the world that there is a risen Savior, and his name is Jesus. When somebody says to you, why in the world would you take off a week of work to come and serve kids at Luke 4:18 from Monday to Friday? And you can simply say, because my life has been changed, and there is something greater than work. There's something greater than popularity. There's something greater than success. There's something greater than money. And that is the kingdom of God. And his kingdom will stand forever. And so therefore, my life has been changed by Christ. And so I give my life to him. When you go to the store and somebody does something and instead of getting frustrated, you're like, hey, how can I pray for you? When you're with your family and people all of a sudden want to start talking politics and you want to get all fired up. And you say, hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. When our lives are changed by the gospel, we become a testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Because it says here, it says those who are in Christ, it says in verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. Is your life a testimony to the fact that Jesus is the risen Savior? But not only does it say that we have the testimony, but it also says in verse 11 that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. I have no fear in death because I'm in Christ. And I get to share with the world that I'm not fearful of these things, because at the end of the day, when I breathe my last, I'm with Jesus for all eternity. Francis Chan said in one of his books that so often we say, Lord, I want to go see you, but not just yet. There's still things in life I want to do. We've all said it, right? There's a song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to go now. And Francis just makes a statement, and he was confessing his own sin in his life when he was speaking this. But he said, when we feel that way, we don't fully grasp and understand what heaven is. Because heaven, we get to see our Savior face to face. We're with God for all eternity. You know, I want to close by just sharing with you that when we were at the convention, we decided to Uber instead of renting a car, because it was going to cost so much just to park the car, and because Randy was going to drive and I didn't like that. And we got in this Uber on the way when we got there, and it was four of us with... since the car was kind of smaller, we put Josh in the back. But this guy was Muslim. And somehow our drive took a long time. I think he ran out of gas and had to get gas and all these different things. But we asked him, and he started sharing with us a little bit about his faith and his situation, his personal situation. And we couldn't get a word in. Even Josh couldn't get a word in. And finally, I heard that. Wow. Finally, I just said to him, hey, I know we're stopping for gas, but when you get back in, can I share with you what I believe? And he was like, absolutely, absolutely. So he gets back in, and I just start sharing with him. And you know what I realized in that moment? I shared the gospel. But I quickly went to how it has changed my life. And I said this to him. I said, in your religion, do you have assurance of heaven? He said, no, I don't. And I said, my assurance is not based on anything I can do. My assurance that I'm one day going to be with God for all eternity has nothing to do with my works or my ability. Because if it did, I would be very, very, very fearful. I said, but my assurance is in Jesus Christ, the one who died for me, the one who is sinless, Lamb of God, the one who has risen from the grave. Now, I can't tell you. I don't know what happened. All I know is that all four of us in that car planted seeds into his life. But I can tell you that 1 John chapter 5 was happening. That we have been transformed by the evidence of the baptism, the blood, the Holy Spirit, God the Father speaking, to the point that we became in that moment a testimony of a life that has been changed. Testifying that our lives have been changed because Jesus is alive, because he is the risen Lord and Savior. And so, church, I just challenge you today. If you're in here today and you're saying, David, I just need more evidence. Listen, all I can give you is the Word of God. And you've got to make the decision whether you're going to actually believe that what the Word says is true. But I want you to hear that if you are a born-again believer in this room, your life is to be a testimony to all those that you come in contact with, even the Uber driver. Even the doctor that you're going to see because of the diagnosis that you have received. Even the people that you run into at the grocery store. Even the people that you go to when your car is broken down and you're frustrated because it's going to be another payment. Even the people that come onto our campus this week, our life is to be a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive. And Jesus Christ has changed my life.